Good morning. One of the puzzling things about the behavior of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is that on one hand, they were witnessed nes after nes after nes, Tam, Sefadeh, Akinem, Arav. Time and time again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Yad HaGadolah, different nisim and nifloyis to save Klal Yisrael. And yet, just a few days after it all culminated in Kriyas Yamsuf, they ran out of water, and immediately, suddenly they're in a panic. What are we going to drink? How are we going to survive? What's going on? How could they question HaKadosh Baruch Hu after witnessing so many nisim v'nifloyis? Rosh Shaval Hirsch points out that there are two very different kinds of bitachon people have. It's very easy, or at least it's easier, for a person to have bitachon when it comes to global matters. That bitachon that when Klal Yisrael has a crisis, when Klal Yisrael is faced with an enemy, with Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get involved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael. That's one level. But then, when they're out in the Midbar, and one by one they start running out of water, and they're faced with an individual crisis. They don't have the water, they don't have what to give their family. That's already a private matter. That's that's in their day-to-day existence. There it's much harder for a person to apply the amunah, to apply the pitachin to his personal circumstance. And that's why when it was Klal Yisrael, when it was Yom Suf, when it was between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden, there they saw the nisim. But then, when it came to their day-to-day existence, that caused Vayilenu Amos Shalemer Manishta. And what Kadosh Baruch Hu responded was, "If Shemaya Tishma L'Kol Hashem Lekecha V'Hayosher Be'Ein of Tasa." It's a havtacha that if a person acts the way he's supposed to, he deals in business and he deals his private hanhaga is the way it's supposed to. Then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a havtacha that he'll take care of each and every yid in Klal Yisrael individually. Now we've learned over the past few weeks the halachos of Sechiras Poelim. And as we learned, that when you hire a worker, once he starts the job, the employer is locked in, he cannot fire him. A poyel, a worker, on the other hand, because of the pasuk of Kili B'nei Yisrael, is always free to quit, to resign whenever he chooses. If an employer rescinds a job offer before the job began, so we discussed last week, there's a concept of garmi, of davar avud, that if the worker gave up a job opportunity because of your offer, you're going to be responsible to pay. Even though there's no contract, he didn't start the work, since because of your offer he turned down other jobs, and now those jobs aren't available, you're a mazik, garmi, and you're going to have to pay for that loss. Now, what that means is that if you ever want to claim a loss, and a person cancels a doctor's appointment, the doctor will have to prove two things. He'll have to prove that had you not made the appointment, he would have had other patients. And therefore, because of your appointment, he lost out other clients. He'll also have to establish, or it'll have to be, the Besom will have to determine, that you canceled so late that it was no longer possible to find somebody else. In such a case, you're a mazik. Again, there was difference as far as what the makar of the chiyuv is, but you're going to have to pay for the damage that you caused to the doctor. So, Maisa Shehaya, there was a young girl, 5 years old, who was both very spoiled and very opinionated. Her birthday was coming up, so she decided she wanted to have banana-flavored cupcakes for her birthday. Okay, they had no choice. The father calls a bakery and orders 25 banana-flavored cupcakes. The big day comes, the birthday, and the little princess wakes up in the morning and decides banana flavor is out, strawberry is in. She doesn't want the banana cupcakes. So the father goes to the bakery and says, listen, I'm very sorry, I put in the order for the cupcakes, but my daughter changed her mind, and I want strawberry cupcakes instead. The bakery says, what do you mean? You put in the order, it's too late. What is it did? So, the Tshuvas HaRosh case happened to have not been about cupcakes. Tshuvas HaRosh has a very similar case. It's quoted in Sif Ches, where he says, it depends. If you're able, the baker is able to sell these cupcakes to somebody else, then you have no obligation. Now, it's Mechusar Amono. You made a commitment, you said you're going to buy and you're not, so it's Mechusar Amono. We'll have to deal with Trey Tyree, whether it's an oiness, not an oiness, that's for another time. But as far as having to pay, since he's able to sell to another customer, there is no hefsa, there is no loss, you will not have to pay if there's another customer. On the other hand, if there's no market for banana-flavored cupcakes, and it's nothing to do with them, then the halacha is, you put in the order, you're going to have to pay. And the Nesivus says, what's going on over here? If I hire a worker, I have him come and I have him do a job for me. And then when he finishes the job, I say, I changed my mind. I don't really want it. I'm not interested. Go sell it to someone else. Can I do that? Definitely not. I hired a worker. He did the job. He gets paid. So whether he could sell it somewhere else, whether he can't, it's totally irrelevant. He did the job. He's entitled to get paid. So why is the rush make chalukim whether you could sell it, you can't sell it? What's going on over here? So the Nesiva has a beautiful answer. He says, let's think for a minute what's happening. When I call a baker, and for that matter, anytime I put in an order, I order custom furniture, am I hiring the person to be my worker and to make this furniture for me? No. It's like this. If I called up a baker and I said, listen, come to my house, I have a kitchen, I have bananas, I have sugar, I have flour, come to my house and I'm hiring you for the next hour, go ahead and start baking cupcakes. Then he's a worker. I've hired him. That's Tchiras Poilim. If I hire a worker, I have to pay him for the job that he did. And then the Rosh's sock would not apply. But Zakhni Nesiva, that's not what happened here. I called the baker, I put in an order. When he gets up the next morning and starts making the cupcakes, is he working for me? Is he my pile? No. It's nothing more. I made a commitment. I plan on buying 25 banana cupcakes tomorrow. So if you make it, you have it ready, I'm going to come buy it. It's a commitment to buy something. Now, when you make a commitment to buy something, this is already Mekach U'Memkar. Did you make a kinyan? Is there a contract? The Hagbah, Meshicha, Hischaivas? There's no kinyan. So therefore, Zog the Rosh, since it's not Poyalim, you didn't hire him to do it, you just made a Havtocha, tomorrow morning you should know you have a customer for these cupcakes. So in that case, we can only look at the Hefsid. If I caused a loss, I'm going to have to pay. If I didn't cause a loss, I'm not going to. Now based on this understanding, it'll come out of a tremendous Chiddush. How much do the cupcakes cost? So if you walk into a bakery, you pay 50 cents. How much did it cost the baker to make these cupcakes? So I don't know, but let's say about a quarter. What do I owe him when I back out? Now if I hired a poil to do a job, and he did the job, I have to pay him the full amount. But according to the Nesivos, there's no poilim over here. I made a haftacha, tomorrow I'm going to buy it from you. Now if I back out, it's true, I'm mechusar amon, it's aser. But there's no chiyah for that. The reason why I have to pay you is garmi. I caused you a loss. Yesterday you had perfectly good bananas and flour and sugar. Now because of my say-so, you made cupcakes that are worthless. No one else wants to buy them. I've caused you to lose that money. You've ruined these ingredients. But if that's the case, I'm only going to have to pay you your actual cost of making them. I have no obligation to pay you the 50 cents what you would have sold it for. That's true. That's true. But that's Minyas HaRevach. That means I prevented you from doing something which would make money. Minyas HaRevach, in most cases, is going to be Patur in a Garmi. Okay, deposit is a different story. That's, you know, then we'll have to deal with it. So it's a non-refundable deposit that in Hilchos Esmachta we'll have to get to. In all likelihood, you'll be able to keep it. But as far as Mazik, we have to look at damage, not lost profit opportunity.
Once you delay,
so the Rush doesn't discuss it, but the Erech Shai in Simon Yadalit says that when we factor in the loss, we can factor in his labor. Now, it doesn't mean his profit margin, doesn't mean, you know, the fact that it's more profitable to run a bakery, but however much time he spends on it, whatever the normal hourly rate is, Erech Shai says, that's included in the Hefzid. But again, the profit margin wouldn't be.
Isn't that bringing it more into a Paul case?
Into a
Paul case.
If no.
You're not giving it as labor.
No, because the point is Hefzid. What the Erech Shai's Chiddush is in the same way taking perfectly good bananas and making worthless cupcakes out of is a mazik because you've destroyed these bananas, these ingredients. So taking time that for a poyel who normally is working and doing something and wasting that time is also called an expense. But it's only, again, the actual labor time, not any profit margin, not anything above that.
Isn't there what the profit margin usually is based on?
There's usually something extra. But again, if it coincides to be the same, okay. Great. What? But overhead is not a garmi, because they had the bakery running anyway. So that you're not going to be able to factor. It's going to have to be direct costs. It's not going to, you're not going to be able to factor in your advertising and your overhead.
If he could have sold other cupcakes with that flour, he would have made it anyway. In other words,
what he even
had on a shell, he would not make other things because he...
Okay, fine. Listen, that will depend on the case. That's, you know... Now, another interesting point that comes out is because we're dealing with Mazik over here, who has to sell the cupcakes? So Sma says the baker is the one that has to do the tircha. He has to go ahead and do what he can to sell the cupcakes. Which means that he's going to have to, for the 50 cents he probably won't be able to sell it for, but he's going to have to try to mitigate his loss. And therefore, if I hang up a sign, you know, banana special of the day, banana cupcakes, or, you know, 25 cents a piece, he'll be able to recover his expenses. He would have a chiv to do that, and the person putting in the order would not be liable.
And this is the way for the profit you make from
that. Okay, very good. Very good. So I would say it depends. If you had, you know, you made enough cupcakes, at the end of the day, you're going to end up with leftovers. And therefore, by selling these, you're going to take away from your other customers. I don't think you have a chiyuv to do that. Because that would still be, the fact that you made these extra ones is going to be a mazik. On the other hand, if every day you sell out of your entire inventory, and now you're just going to sell these extras, then you'd have a chiyuv to do it. But it's a good point. It's not discussed before in any of the Pesukim. His point was that you're cannibalizing your other sales. If you're hanging up this sign, so now someone who was going to come in and order buy a chocolate cupcake for the 50 cents is now going to pay the 25 cents for the banana. It depends how desperate they are, I guess. Okay, good. So that, you know, the details will let all the businessmen work out. But the halacha is we're going to look, is it a mazik or not? And mazik always has a much higher, you know, benchmark that you have to meet before you can be mechayev someone to pay. Now, this is all, as kind of we were discussing, so you offer someone a job, you back out, so the halacha is, if you caused a loss, if you gave up other job opportunities, you're going to have to pay. Now let's move on and discuss the other side of the coin. You hire an accountant, he's working for you throughout the year. April 15th, he decides, this job is too stressful. Paul Yochel Afsaba, he wants to quit. So what's the halacha? So over here we had in the Mishnah that a davar ha'avud, if you hire someone to do a job, and it's a davar ha'avud, if he quits today, the employer is going to lose money. There the halacha is, he is not allowed to quit. Now the Mishnah explains there are two types of davar ha'avud. Our accounting case is very easy to understand. If he quits, my taxes are not going to get filed on time, I'm going to get hit with a penalty, I'm going to lose money. That's clear, davar avud, he does not have the right to quit. But the Mishnah adds other examples of you hire someone to bring supplies for a chasana or for a funeral. There, if you don't have a band at the wedding, you're not going to lose any money. You'll save a few dollars. But you hired someone because you wanted the wedding to be late, like you wanted you wanted music there. If the band decides after the first dance that they're quitting, you're not going to have music at your chasana. So while you're not losing money, what you hired them for, the inyan, the concept, the fact that you wanted music at the wedding, if they quit, you're not going to be able to find a replacement, it's too late. And therefore the inyan is avar, and this halacha will apply. And in such cases, if a band leader decides in the middle of the chasana they want to quit, it's a davar avud, kilib in Israel does not apply, and they would be mechuyev to continue working. And there's
if they don't quit, what do you
We'll get to that in a minute. Now there's actually a fair amount of discussion, how do you define a davar avud? What would be, for example, if your cleaning lady quits? Is that a davar avud or not? What?
That's what you asked.
Okay. So there's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim. They say it depends how wealthy the family is. If it's from a family who they've had cleaning help for years, that means the mother, the woman of the house just hasn't ironed a shirt in decades, and it doesn't know how to, they will not be able to cope once the cleaning help leaves. That's a davar avud. There's no difference between not having music at a wedding or not having the laundry done. It means things are not going to happen the way they're supposed to. On the other hand, if they've never had cleaning help before, and finally they decided to splurge and they decided to get it, and now a few weeks later they quit, so obviously they can manage. It might be tircha, it might be somewhat less pleasant, but since everything that needs to get done will get done, it would not have the din of a davar avud. What about a rebbe? A rebbe or a teacher that quits? So, conceptually, this is considered davar avud. Because although in a few days you'll find a replacement, for 2 or 3 days the kids will be running wild, they won't be learning, and that time is lost, it's gone. So it's considered davar avud. Afal Pikein, the Shach Paskins, that if they quit just before midwinter vacation, or if the parents anyway were not particular, whenever they go down to Florida, they pull their kids out of school for a couple of days. So you see, they don't care about a day or two of learning. In such a case, it would not be considered a davar avud. We'll have to look at the situation. Now, halacha l'maaseh, this applies by a private tutor. When you're dealing with a rebbe or with a teacher, it is almost always a davar avud. Because anyone who had children in school knows that if a rebbe leaves in the middle of the year, you can find a replacement immediately, but it's not the same. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and just the very fact that you're switching in the middle of the year, you're switching tracks, is probably considered a davar avud, and it would be also for a person just to back out in the middle. Now there's actually an interesting...
What about the cases where they have four girl English teachers and they get engaged and they get married?
Okay, so we're going to have to deal with an onus later on. Right now we're dealing with, for some reason, they decided to quit. If something happens, they have a child, something they can't work, it's an onus, that will have different halachas. So we're going to have to also deal with what's an onus. I mean, now they got married, they can move, but they can commute. So we're going to have to deal with that, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. What? Okay, that's true. I can wait to get married. I don't know if the chassan is going to wait, but we'll have to deal with how high of a bar is it? Do you need an oinus, as in like type of oinus that you can be, hatzolos nefasha, that it's possible you can be mechal Shabbos for such a pikuach nefesh? We'll have to deal with that.
Is there any difference between, let's say, an oinus class, you're being mazik somebody, does it make a difference if it's an oinus or not?
Yes, there will be. The short answer is yes. Well, next week we'll get into exactly what you need for an oinus. There was an interesting story. We're on tape, so we'll call it a theoretical story. A person was involved in a certain business with short sales and money. It was a little bit of a questionable business, to say it nicely. And he had someone working for him, and he was doing the legwork for him. And this was going on for a while. And in the middle of the process, the worker decided, you know what, I had enough of this slimy line of work, and he quit. The employer came with tainus. How can you do this? We're in the middle of this short sale, this money laundering operation that we're running, and you're walking out of the middle. I'm going to have a hefset. It's a davar avud. Now, obviously, if you're dealing with something which is osur, obviously, if it's osur to do, it's osur to do. It's not a davar avah that you can't do an isur. But let's just assume, as far as isur v'heter, it wasn't straight out osur, but it was just a modern type of way to earn a buck. So it's a very interesting Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish in Bava Kamma, Simon Chav Aleph, Islam and Gimel, has a case where you hired a person to find Mitzias. You lived, let's say, on the shore, and like a mile or two out, there was a bunch of rocks and reefs, and there were shipwrecks all the time. So there was a shipwreck, there were things floating to the shore, you hired someone to find valuables and pick it up for you. The person quit in the middle of the job. The employer says, "Davar avad, things are washing to the shore. I'm losing an opportunity to make money." This is not a davar avad. Davar avad means a person has, the classic case is, this is going to be a hefsid. You have the accountant to file the taxes, he quits on April 15th, you're going to have a loss. That's a clear davar avad. The next level is, you have a business running, you're earning a profit, and someone quits on you suddenly, and you're going to lose clients, you're going to lose an opportunity to earn money. That's also a davar avad. It's a legitimate business, it's running the way a normal business runs. Lost profits is enough to be a davar avad for this halach. However, Zakhdach Chazaynish, if you're having someone just picking up mitzias, a windfall, that's not a profit or a normal business in the derech ha'olam, he says that does not qualify for a davar avad. And therefore, a poet would be able to quit. Now, based on this Chazaynish, if this person is engaged in this questionable activity, I think Chazaynish would apply. It's not a normal way in the derech ha'olam for a person to make money, hopefully. And therefore, if the halakha of davar avad would not apply, and he would be able to be chayzer and back out whenever he wants. Okay, that might be an echad. If he invested money that he'll lose, it might be different. But assuming it was just a question of he's trying to provide a service and trying to make a few dollars in this way, then I think the Chazon Ish would apply.
Is there any issue in Chazon Ish's case? Was there any
yisur
there?
No. The case is not an yisur.
It's just chutz mi yishuv
ha'olam? Exactly. And there he says that it's not a davar avod, so kol shekein in such a case. It's not clear. Now, it comes out, there's a very interesting point that has to be made. Davar avod means your accountant quits on April 15th. If he walks out, you're going to have a loss. What happens if you hire, let's say, a Rebbe walks out in the middle of the year, that's a davar avod, you can stop him. What happens if you hire a Rebbe, it's every year it's a new contract. At the end of the year he tells you, "You know what, I'm leaving." And you say, "I'm stuck." "What do you mean, you're our star Rebbe? I can't find a replacement, I want you to stay." Is that a davar avad? Absolutely not. Because davar avad just means, if I commit to do something, I commit to do your taxes this year. If I want to quit in middle, where I'm going to cause you a loss, even though it says, "Kili b'nei Yisrael," davar avad says, finish the job. But if I already did what I committed to do, and now you want me to renew the contract, you want me to do next year's financials, I never obligated myself to do that. You can't come to me with complaints you're going to have a loss. That was never in the cards. So in such a case where I never made the obligation, the concept of davar avad doesn't really apply. Now it comes out, a few weeks ago someone pointed out that whenever you sign a contract with a worker for a year, for a period of time, so someone pointed out it's a very unfair contract. Because the worker, we learned, can back out whenever he wants. Kili b'nei Yisrael. The employer, on the other hand, is locked in until the end of the term. So someone pointed out it makes no sense for an employer to do it, because he's locking himself in and getting no benefit. But what comes out today is there is a benefit. Because if you lock a person in for 6 months, it's true, Kili b'nei Yisrael, he can normally quit. But he will not be able to quit if it causes a loss, if it's davar avad. So therefore, as long as there is a period of time, until the end, if there's the worker will be locked in, he can quit in a way that will cause a loss. If he can walk away and you'll find a replacement, it'll be mutter, even though there's a contract. But at least when there's a davar avad, you'll be protected, and you won't be able to fire him midstream. Now today, where many employment is at will, and it's understood that either party has the right to back out at any time, there is no long-term commitment, the concept of davar avod will be very limited. Because since I never committed to stay on the job, and it was day by day, you can't call it a davar avod when I decide to leave. So again, if you go with the Chazon Ish or with different svaras, there is some sort of minimum notice you have to give, 2 weeks, whatever. So davar avod will lock you in for those 2 weeks. But more than that, since there was never a commitment to stay on, the concept of davar avod would not really apply.
Okay, it's the same scenario of the yeshiva in high school, where the ninth grade rebbe is a very influential, very big draw for the yeshiva. So the yeshiva has its open house. They introduce the ninth grade rebbe. The ninth grade rebbe makes his presentation and everything. And, you know, they get whatever, 25 registration, 25 coming for the class. And all of a sudden comes July, the ninth grade rebbe says, you know, I'm going somewhere else. And when 25 parents find out, 15 of them are going to follow that rebbe to the other yeshiva. Let's see.
I would suggest you keep that Rebbe very happy. If he made a commitment, he's going to stay for next year. If you hired him for the next year.
What's a commitment? The fact that he introduced, that he spoke at the open house, is that a commitment?
It's a factual question. It's possible. It depends on the case. But if there was no commitment, just because we didn't discuss it, had the school decided that they wanted, you know, that the Rosh Hashiva's son was looking for a shteller, and he decided to hire him for a ninth grade rebbe, what would happen then? Would the school feel that they had a commitment to this ninth grade rebbe?
But they probably would lose the class.
Okay, that's their decision. You have to look at, is there a commitment or not? Well, when there is, you know, in each case, whether there was or wasn't a commitment, that's something which keeps busy. But it's to the extent that there was no commitment, I don't think you can apply the concept of davar avod. It doesn't really. I mean, you need a contract. You need an agreement. Smichas Das was very important when it came to Mechus Ramana, when it came to Anim Hapach. But in this, if there was nothing discussed, and no reason for them to understand there was a commitment, I don't think that would make a difference.
I mean, in this case,
let me just go on. We have some more things to cover before us. Now the question is, now that it's a davar avod, halacha is the accountant on April 15th does not have the right to back out. Kili b'nei Yisrael doesn't apply. What is the recourse? What can you do to have to force the person to work? So halacha over here is, the Mishnah says, halacha is soicher aleihem oimata. You have two options. The first is soicher aleihem. You go ahead, you hire other workers, you pay them through the roof, you pay whatever you need to pay them to get the job done, and you send the bill to the first workers. In other words, since the first worker had no right to back out, he has a responsibility to complete the job, you can go ahead and hire other workers at their expense. Now whenever we deal with a davar avod, if you can find other workers to do the job, by definition, it's not a davar avod. What's the loss? Just hire the next people. So the case over here is, for the amount you promised the first person, there's no one available. But if you add a couple of dollars, if you're willing to pay more, then for the right price, you'll find anyone to do the job. So here the halacha is, you can pay the next person more and bill the first worker. Now, there are limits to this. The halacha is, normally you can only pay them akidei schara. In other words, the first workers were supposed to do a job, the job where they were going to get paid $2,000 for the job. You can pay the new workers up to $2,000 extra. In other words, the worker that's quitting on you, Shaloi Kedin, can lose up to the amount he was expecting to gain. More than that, not. That's what Chagas Rishayim, Rashi seems to learn to limit this. You could only use, if the first person did the job, you didn't pay him yet, whatever you owe him, you can use and pay the second person. But if you've paid him, or if he didn't start the job, Rashi learns, this won't apply. But Rav Rishayim learned that no. Even if you've paid the person, the original worker can lose up to the amount that he was supposed to gain. You can use that to hire the next workers.
What about the case of the band?
That's true. So the next option that you have is matlon. You can fool the first workers. You can go, and the way the Rambam explains it, you go over to the band leader and you tell him, listen, I know you're under stress, it's very hard for you. Continue the job, I'll give you an extra $1,000. He continues. When he finishes, he asks for the money. You tell him, very sorry. The halacha is, I don't owe you a penny. Because halacha is matan. The halacha is, you didn't have the right to back out, and therefore I was lying.
If the guy's
longer,
he knows that, so
if he knows it, so he's going to ask for the money up front.
Right.
But the halacha is, even if you pay him up front, since he had no right to back out, the halacha is, it's mutzer to be mad to him, you can bring him to Bezin afterwards, and you can get the money back.
So he went to the shir, he knows all these things. So
if he goes to the shir, you're in trouble. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So now, there's a very interesting question over here. What's happening? Your worker came to you, he starts the job. In the middle, he decided he had enough, he's quitting. So, davar avur, apei halacha, he should not have the right. So, you mat to him. You tell him, don't worry, I'll pay you double. It'll be good, it's worth your while. And he finishes the job. How are you allowed to lie to him? How are you allowed to promise him more if you have no intention of keeping it? What's the matter? So, the Yaivitz we had in Gin, Daf Yudalid, says, the Yisoid, and he says, there's no Isser of Sheker to stop someone from stealing from you. The person comes to you with a gun. Once he says, give me $5,000 or I'll shoot. So you hand him a wad and you fool him, you only give him $4,800. You tell him, here's the $5,000. Is that Isser? You're lying, but it's Pasha, that's Mutzer, because you might not be telling the truth, but you're just doing it to prevent him from taking away money Shalik Yadin. What? That's not Shalom. He'll like you better if you give him the $5,000. You're doing it to protect money that he has no right to take. So, over here as well, since Al Pi Halacha, the worker had no right to back out by a Davar Avah, telling him, I'm going to pay you more, I'm going to give you extra, whatever it is not going to be awesome. Now, it's very interesting, Devar of Ram. I don't know if it's La Halacha, but it's just, it's a beautiful chap, I'll say it over. Devar of Ram is bothered by really two kashas. His first kasha is that the Halacha by Devar of it is, Seichel Lei Meimatar. You're allowed to fool them. What happens if a cobbler, if a person is doing a job, it's a Devar of it, goes over to his employer and says, listen, I had enough, I want to quit. Now I know the halacha is, that's fine with me. You find another worker, you pay him more, I'll reimburse you. But I don't want to do the job. Are you allowed to do that or not? In other words, is the pshat that by a davar avud, you don't have the right to quit? Really, your worker's locked in. Kli B'nei Yisrael applies, normally you can quit. When it's davar avud, there's no Kli B'nei Yisrael, you're forced to do the work. You're forced, really, if you came to Bezdin would take out a whip and make you finish the job. Since that's not very practical, Chazal gave you another choice, Secher Elei Meimata. If that's the case, and you need to lie to prevent him from doing an Yisrael, you can clearly do that. However, some place can argue, some place can say, that if the worker is willing to accept Seichel Lei Meimatan, he has the right to walk away. When you accept a job, you're obligating yourself, I'm going to do the job. And if I quit, if I walk out on you in a way that will cause a loss, you can be Seichel Lei Meimatan. I'm willing to pay the extra that it costs you to hire another worker. But, that's it. I never obligated myself to be your slave. I never obligated myself to actually do the job for you. If that's the case, the Dharavaram asks, why am I allowed to lie to you? The worker has the right to say, I'm not doing the work, go find another worker and I'll pay you the difference. So what's the heter to lie to me to get me to do the work that I don't want to do?
The Rambam
then asks another question. The Rambam says, Ketzan Batzon, how do you trick the worker? It says the worker was paying 100, you say, listen, come, I'll pay you 200, and that's what you do. Friends of Devar Avram, do we need the Rambam to teach us how to lie? I mean, look around, and many people who never learned Rambams are unfortunately very good at lying. Adarav, you need the Rambam to tell the truth, to keep you straight. Why does the Rambam feel the need to go through a whole explanation telling you how to lie, how to fool a worker? Well, what's the pshat? Something about Rambam, a very interesting pshat. said, really the halacha is soicher aleihem. You hire him for 100, you can pay another worker up to 200 to do the job. What happens if you can't find another worker? Something's very wrong. You go to your first worker and tell him, oh, I was going to pay you 100, I'll pay you 200. He does the job, and then he comes, he wants to get paid. So that's the Dvar Avram. You gave your word you're going to pay him 200. You have to pay him 200. But you pay him the 200, and then you tell him the halacha was seicher aleihem. If I have to hire a more expensive worker, who gets the bill? You. So I'm paying you 200. You're paying the extra 100. So that's the Dvar Avram. Matan over here is not, you're not lying to him. You're telling the truth. You're paying him 200, but that extra 100, he's the one that's responsible for. So that's why he says, the Rambam is telling you, Kesed Matan, he says, this is the only way you'll let a fool him. If you lie to him and you tell him, I'll give you 500, or you'd lie to him and you tell him, I'm going to make it easier, I'll give it. That's awesome, you can't lie to him. It's just being mad to him, he says, is nothing, because it's really telling the truth, you're promising him more, and then just deducting the amount that he would have to reimburse you, and he says, that's the only way that it's mutter. It's a very, I'm not saying this is true halacha, but it's at least a nice angle.
And if it really was someone else, the guy said, look, I was willing to give
$100
for the other guy.
That would be awesome. If there was someone else willing to do it, it was, no. In that case, really, it's the same, because you're paying him 200. This worker's willing to do it for the extra 100, so it makes no difference whether he does and you pay him the 200, or the other person does and he gets the bill.
As long as he thinks someone else will do it.
Okay, perhaps not. And the Avram goes through a bunch of cases like that, where there'll be an afkamina. But again, I'm not saying this is true halacha, but at least this is his chiddush. Now, halacha, there happens to be a major machlokes, whether by a kabbalin or whether by a davar avod, you have the right to back out if you accept soicher aleihem matan, or whether you have a chiyuv to work. Now, most rishonim in the Machane Efraim is medayik from the hold that you have a chiyuv to do the work. Basically, although it says kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, means you're allowed to back out in a normal case, so you're not a slave. But there's no heter to cause someone a hefsid. And therefore, by a davar avod, most rishonim will say you have a chiv to do the work, and at least in theory, if there's a bezdin there, they would take out a whip and force you to complete the work. The shach and a number of achronim argue and say that no, that you can never force a person to work. If he's willing to accept seicher aleihem matan, you can, then that is the halacha, and more than that, you can't force him to do. If you make a kinyan, if there's a contract or there's some form of kinyan, then by a davar avod, everyone agrees you can actually force them to do the work. And there, even if they want to accept seicher aleihem matan, they're not going to be able to. And just one last question is, what happens with a volunteer? A person volunteered to help out, he saw you needed some help, and he was unemployed anyway, so he decides he'll do it for free. And then, halfway through the job, he decides to quit. What's the halacha? So over here, there are more paskins that, even by davar avod, there's no chiv. So if someone volunteers to play music at your son's chasana, don't take him up so fast. Because if he decides in the middle that he had enough and he wants to leave, there are more paskins, he has every right to do that. Now the Shach qualifies this halacha. The Shach says what it means is you can't force him to continue working as a volunteer. He has the right to say, listen, there's an hour left to the chasana. I don't want to be a volunteer anymore. I'm willing to continue if you pay me the wages that a band, that a musician should be paid. That you have the right to do. But to walk out completely and to leave him holding the bag with nothing else to do, that's a davar avod. That, he says, is going to be usur in all circumstances. Now, it comes out a little bit of an interesting point. If you look at Hagoyis Hashri, it really depends what language was used. Hagoyis Hashri assumes that when a person volunteers, he doesn't mean to lock himself into a commitment. I'm doing you a favor, so as long as I want to do the favor, I'm doing you the favor. When I change my mind, I change my mind. To the extent that I'm not locked in, you can't come back to me with a complaint of davar avod, because, like we mentioned before, davar avod is only, I made a commitment, I'm backing out of the commitment's a problem. But if I never really locked it in for any period of time, as long as I'm willing to do you the favor, I do it. When I had enough, I had enough. However, Chazon Ish points out, that if it's a real davar avud, if I tell you, you know what, I'm going to help you work on your roof. You know, you need a new roof, I'm unemployed, I'll do it for you. I rip off the old roof, and then I tell you, you know what, I had enough, I'm quitting. You look up, and there's a storm clouds, and it's about to start pouring. That's a mazik. So forget about commitment, not commitment. What you did was a hezek. Now, I can't force you to fix it, but I can definitely force you to at least restore it to the old position. There's no heter to be a mazik just because you're not getting paid. The shach, the Ramah's case is, there's no hezek. You started doing your job, there's no hezek involved. Now, the person wants you to finish the job, there you have the right to say, you want me to finish? You have to pay me for my time. Again, going forward. But in any case where there's a real hazard, where you're going to cause damage, there he says, L'kuli amla will be also, just because you're not getting paid, is not a reason to be mazik somebody else. Okay.